So at this time, I'm going to ask Sally if she would read the word to us and share with us.
I thought you said I could share first.
Okay. Yeah, what's ever on your mind? This is your day.
Well, happy Mother's Day. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away called Green Bay, Wisconsin, there was a young mother of three children, Josh, Elizabeth, and Jordan. And she had the duty of, course, picking them up after school, after she had worked, after everybody else had worked and had to pick up their kids, and then run them to baseball practice or soccer practice or piano lessons. Well, this mother was hurried, and she knew she had to get her children picked up from school. Chapel, by the way. Any chapel alum? As I was proceeding at, of course, the speed limit to get to chapel from Bellin Hospital, I wanted to get there and park because I was already late. And I had kind of an, this young mother had an issue, an issue with the crossing guard lady, bless her heart. This young mother saw that she was always yelling at the kids, telling them to get in line. Come on, get to school, you get to line. She didn't seem happy, and she always seemed angry, and she was yelling. Well, this young mother didn't like this crossing guard yelling, especially when she yelled at her children. This young mother would park her van a block away from chapel school because it was really hard to pick up all the kids. And this young mother decided this day that she was going to go into the parking lot because she saw a spot that she could get, and then the kids could see her and get in, and then we could go do what we had to do. And as she was coming up to the corner of Dousman and Fisk, the light changed. Well, I don't like yellow lights. That doesn't speed up for me. But surely I can make a right-hand turn and get into the parking lot. Well, this crossing guard had nothing to do with this young mother who was hurried and had to get her three young children picked up from school. She said, "Stop!" Had her sign out, and other kids were crossing. Oh, man, if she just would have let me, if she would have just let this young mother quick, you know, make this turn, she could have beat all these other kids needing to cross. Because obviously they didn't have to go to soccer practice or baseball practice or whatever. And she wasn't happy. And she kind of saw this crossing guard put her sign out and point her finger and, you know, go and kids are in, said her in her beautiful soft voice. Well, this young mother's mama bear rose up and she pulled into that school parking lot. She parked that car and she thought, she's going to tell her a thing or two and how she's mean to kids and especially my kids, and she's not a very nice crossing guard person. Well, my kids were coming out and they saw that I was parked in the school, her kids saw that she's parked in the, my kids, you know, and parked in the parking lot, and they ran to the van, and I said, "Just a minute, I gotta go talk to the crossing guard lady." They're like, "Oh," I think they kind of said, "No, Mom," but at that time, I was, of course, listening spiritually, you know, I was mature, and I clearly heard the Holy Spirit say, "Don't go." And some of you know this story. I put my hand up and said, "Don't worry, I got this." And I go marching over there to the crossing guard lady, and I say, you're always yelling at the kids. And she was, you know, I don't know what she was saying because I was going to, this mama bear was going to get her point across. And you're always yelling at the kids and they don't like it and I don't like it either. And then she said, well, I'm making sure that they're safe. And I was like, I don't care if you're making them safe. You're yelling at my kids. Totally inappropriate on my part, but I just felt good to just get it out. And then, you know, I got your number. Well, I'm going to report you, you know, that back and forth stuff. And, of course, I didn't hear anything. God. And she probably didn't hear anything from me. But as I reflect on that, that wasn't one of my greater, you know, mom moments. And I share that with you just to encourage you that the Lord wasn't done with me yet and didn't give up on me. And his love never fails, like the song says. And, yeah, being rooted and grounded in his word and knowing that he loves me and my children are, yeah, forgivers of some of those things. But that was just one little thing in my life that I wasn't too proud of. And there are other things that I'll share in another chapter with you someday. But I'd like the moms, actually, I'd like all women to stand because there's many in this church that are spiritual mentors, sending cards, giving little gifts, sending scriptures, doing big things for me, doing little things. You all are a blessing to me and Pastor Mike and this fellowship, and you are important. I see you, and God sees you, which is more important. So I'm reading this blessing. I want you to approach God with confidence and freedom. And Paul wrote this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel or pray before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, his love, may that you may have power together with all God's holy people to grasp. This is the theme of the day. I think the Holy Spirit wants us to know. To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And I want you to know this love, even more so God wants you to know this love. It surpasses all knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Amen. Thank you for letting me share that story. And now let's all stand for the reading of the word. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And in John 14, verse 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Sally, can you pray for me?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've poured out your love already on us. You're gracious and you're generous. And right now I pray that the words that Pastor Mike has prepared to speak be your words, and that our ears would be open to see wonderful things in your word, and that we would apply it to our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, how you move tenderly, how you move powerfully. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sally, I just want you to know.
Yes.
I just want you to know if anything ever happens to you, I think I'm going to ask that woman out.
Oh.
In my house, that could be one of those moments. Elizabeth's giving me the look over there. Dad, stop right there. Title of this message is Principles of Prayer. It's really interesting. I got a book just this morning from a woman in this church who went to a prayer conference and said, "This is for you." And then in it is the number of the person that wrote the book. And I felt very special. I still do, that I got a book on prayer. Where were you 2 weeks ago when I was developing this message? We'll see if I agree with the book before I read the book. I would like to just very quickly honor mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers as well. It is a big deal to honor you all, and it's something we should do more than just on this day. I don't think my mother made it, but the stories I have with my mother, they're always hilarious. Now, she's getting up there. She's in her high 80s, and my family laughs at this, but I know what I know. The last time, about a few months ago, she gave me a hug. She was not looking at me. She was looking at my dad. I could tell. Yes, she was looking at me. I said, "Mom, this is getting weird really fast. This is your son, Michael." Oh, and then we got a chance to hug. So my mom is special. And everything that that woman that we heard about did with the crossing guard reminds me a lot of my mother, what she did to the neighbor lady across the street who was yelling at her children. The ferocity, the fierceness, and the love for her children was evident. She's 4'11". She shouldn't be able to do anything, but she went after that neighbor lady. I was so proud as a stupid young kid of my mom that she would do that. And the funny part about it is, after my mom went after this lady who was going after her kids, and they got together and it was going on. They're claws out and they're reaching and they're fighting and choking each other. And that 4'11" woman was so proud that she stood up for her children until my dad made her wear an eye patch because we're going to take this to court. So the fire was in her for sure. Matthew 6:9. This is the Lord's Prayer. And we all heard it. We say it in different ways. But in the King James Version, it says, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts." It also says trespasses, as we forgive our debtors. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever." And if Isaiah was here, I'd still be going, "and ever and ever and ever." Amen. Amen. Powerful prayer. It is a teaching prayer. It lays the foundation for how we're to pray. It has it there in beautiful pictures and beautiful statements and beautiful realities of who God is and who we are, our need for him and his love for us. And he will meet our needs as they line up with his will. He knows our every need. Matthew 6:31 says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things, the Gentiles here are the spiritually lost.
they don't know Christ. For your heavenly Father knows that you'll need all these things. And then he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He begins in Matthew with that prayer, which is really part of the Sermon on the Mount. And then he brings it right back here, and he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first him by the name of Jesus. Seek Jesus first. By his Spirit, seek the Holy Spirit. We do this first. And sometimes we get out of order a little bit, and we begin to seek the stuff, the things of this earth, instead of the giver of the good and perfect gift. That's true in our daily walk often. It is even true in how we pray. And I have a hunch in this wonderful book that I'm looking forward to read that's going to be addressed, that we seek first the giver of every good and perfect gift. And that's our Savior Jesus. Seek him first. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. For who? For the one who seeks. Seek him first. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me. This is Old Testament. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Are you in that place? Have you sought after God? Did you seek him? Did you find him? Did you seek him with your whole heart? Or did you seek him with a divided heart? Or a heart that's partially devoted to him, but not fully devoted to him? I can speak for myself. Early on, I would seek God when I was in trouble. I would seek God when I was far from him, usually because I wanted something, or I was afraid of something, or I was in need because of whatever circumstance was going on in my life. But did I seek him with a full heart? Did I seek him as he ought to be sought? What's going on with the Jews at this time? They're in bondage in Babylon when Jeremiah writes this. Why is that a big deal? Because I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. All right, Jeremiah 29:13. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. The captivity for them was Babylon. What's the captivity for us? The captivity for us, and I'm giving you what I got. Not too many people are sharing this as I did my study. The captivity for us is sin. We are held captive by our sin, and there's consequences to our sin, and we need to be delivered from our sin. We invest a lot here in this church to raise people up who have been held captive by whatever sin, circumstance, thing that has come against them, to work through it, to come to the place that says, that was not right, or what happened to me was not right, or what I did was not right, to be delivered from that and set free from the bondage of that. All right? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For who? For those who seek after him first. That's beautiful, isn't it? Verse 9, Matthew 7:9 says, oh, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Luke takes this same statement to the next level, and he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Are you Spirit-filled? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit to fill you? Have you asked for the Holy Spirit to baptize you? When you come to Christ and you ask Jesus in, the Holy Spirit now lives in you. And the Bible says that our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. And yes, all of us. Well, how can he live in Mark and then live in Ray at the same time because he's omnipresent. He's all places at all times. He comes and dwells when we come to salvation. But there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit unto works. And it goes back to Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace you're saved through your faith. Not of your works. Not, you can't be good enough, lest any man should boast. And then the next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to do good works. In Acts chapter, it's in Acts, beginning of Acts. I think it's chapter 1. I think it's chapter verse 8. And it says, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know what he said before you got the power, before the Holy Spirit come upon you? Don't go yet. Don't go do all the good things that I'm going to call and tell you to do. Disciples, don't go yet. I know I taught you for 3 years, but don't go yet. Your head knowledge isn't good enough for you to go yet. But wait for the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It says, for you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. For what purpose? To go into the world and affect change. If you do it in your own strength, you come up short. I do. I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to make an impression here. I'm going to do this and say this. And I do it my own strength and I flop. And you all know what I'm talking about. It's usually when I go to the place I don't want to go because the Spirit of the God is prompting me. And he says, no, you go here. You tell them. You tell this person who I am. I'm scared to go there. I don't know that person. It's frightening, kind of. Trust in me. Lean on me. So what do? I start praying in the Spirit because I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Spirit for good works. And I start praying in the Spirit. And very honestly, by the time I'm done praying in the Spirit, you can't hold me back. In my flesh dwells, I can't do anything worth anything. But in his Spirit, I can go and I can tell and I can say the thing that's going to embarrass me and I won't even care because it's the very thing that will glorify God. Prayer principle. Seek him. Thank you, Jesus. You want the Holy Spirit? You ask for him. Oh, Pastor Mike, can you pray that I get the Holy Spirit? How about I pray this? How about I pray for you that you ask God for his Holy Spirit? That's the better prayer. I can't give you anything. I can give you some words. I can give you some attitude. I can give you some fire, maybe. But I can't give you anything like that. You have to ask for it. What does God do when we ask him for the good gifts? He doesn't give you a serpent or a scorpion or a fish. Well, maybe unless you're hungry, he might give you a fish. But he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens a door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Oh, that's so awesome. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Be knocking on his door all the time. We heard about repenting every day a few weeks ago. I'm saying be knocking all the time, asking all the time, and know that you're going to ask according to his will and not your will. All right? This is the prayer principle, is we ask according to his will. If we ask according to my will, I'm going to have to get a dumper and throw out all the junk I asked for because it's going to be useless in a relatively short period of time. That's how it works in my world anyway. Sally's been telling me, by the way, to get a dumper out in front of our thing, so it tells you something. So the first point was that we must seek him, that we must seek Jesus. Second is to learn or lean into the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness. We know that our starting point is truly, this isn't meant to hurt anybody, our starting point is weakness. But when we lean into him, he takes care of our issue of weakness and he becomes our strength. All right? Romans 8:26a says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. The Holy Spirit is busy. Because we are all weak, whether we admit it or not. And it's a relative statement. Some are stronger than others. Some are weaker than others. But relative to God, we're all weak. In our strength, we can't do it all in our strength. You might have some success for a time, but the reality is, as we're operating in our strength, we grow weary and we grow tired in our own strength. When I think of the grandmas and great-grandmas and mothers and those who have invested their lives into their kids, you can watch, if you have eyes to see, the exhaustion that comes upon them when they're doing all these good things in their own strength. But when they move to the place where they say, God, come on in. Look at my oldest son. Can you help me? Look at my youngest. Can you help me? My mom had 8 kids. God, what did I do? Can you help me? Yes, he'll help you. He'll pour his spirit into you to give you the energy and the strength and the wisdom to do the things he's calling you to do. God does not miss. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. There's a way to pray, and it is in the Spirit. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk just a little bit about that. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us in our weakness, right? He helps us in our prayer. When I pray in the understanding, my brain, I'm talking about my own personal prayer life. I'm back to filling up the dumpster that I'm going to be ordering in 3 months. But when I'm praying according to the will of God, and a lot of times they go hand in hand. Really, honestly, as a father or as a mother, when we pray for our kids, we're in God's will. We're praying the right things. But I have to be praying in the Spirit because I don't always know what to pray for. And so I do. I pray more in the Spirit than I do in the understanding. And some people say, well, you're just saying the same thing over and over and over again. It's repetitious. You know what's repetitious? When I pray my way, that gets pretty repetitious. I mean, I know me. I pray and I'm saying the same thing over and over and over again. I'm asking for the same stuff over and over and over again. And I don't have ears to hear sometimes, so God's probably up there whispering to me saying, you don't need that. No, my grace is sufficient. No, you're asking for the wrong thing. Very honestly, I'm not getting down on anybody praying with the understanding. Do that. But when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible is clear that it is the Spirit of God who petitions the Father on our behalf with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. So when I pray in the Spirit, I am praying the will of God, and that's what we're called to do. So I do. I do. I love praying in the Spirit. I just freaked out half the church. What did I say? I don't know. Is that all right? Yeah, that's great. I'm not messing it up. What did I just say? I don't know. What's going on here? The Spirit of God is now petitioning the Father on my behalf. I pray in the Spirit so much more than I pray with the language that we're all familiar with. And this is what's really interesting. When my need rises up, and it's a need, oh God, help me. I don't know what to do. Help me. You step into this situation, Lord. I'm messing up here. I can't carry this. I'm crying out to him. And then after I finish, God, you take care of me. Jesus, don't be afraid of praying in the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of asking to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Is it weird? It is so stinking weird. It is weird in a wonderful way. It is weird because it's different. And it's different because it is the tool we have to petition the Father at a level we can't do in our own strength. For what? For his glory and for his purpose. His glory, his purpose. And he takes care of us in the process. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So why is this? Why do I pray the way I do in the understanding in English? It's my language. But why? Because right now I only know in part. Very honestly, the pastors in this church, the directors in this church, the elders in this church spend lots of time in God's word. They study God's word, and they're reading it every day. And in our humanity, regardless of how much we study, we prepare, we learn, we still only know in part. God knows fully. We will know fully. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. What does that mean? We're going to be knowing everything. There's no more in part. We will know fully. Verse 12 says, For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. By who? By God. I will know. That's powerful. So when I pray, I'm going to him because I only pray in part and he prays fully. So if you pray in the understanding, that's beautiful. Keep doing that. Pray every day. But when you pray in the Spirit, I want to encourage you to get to that place where you pray in the Spirit and let the Spirit of God pray on your behalf. This is for you as an individual. Now I'm going to bring it to the church. Church is a little different. If I have somebody rattling off, just like I did up here, that's just what comes out of me when I pray in tongues. Who is that benefiting? Not too many people. What did I say? We got three prophets in here that'll tell me. The rest of us, you don't know what I say. But if I speak to you in the understanding, the English language, you get that. It makes sense. Now it's worth something. So know where you are and how you pray. When you're praying on your own, go to the Spirit. When you're praying and or teaching or preaching or whatever, you pray in the understanding. Pray so they can understand what you're saying. Okay, I think I beat that one up pretty good. Here's what it says in Scripture. James 4:2 says, You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Why? Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's us in our humanity. So what does God do? He allows the thorn in our flesh to come about because when we have the thorn in our flesh, we're calling out to him in really a good and honest way. And he is the God who meets our every need, not necessarily our every desire. Galatians 4:6, it says, And because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. When do I become a son of God? Small s. When I come to Christ. When I invite him in and say, Jesus, you be Lord. You be God in my life. I'm a sinner. Take my sin from me. I'm sick of my sin and the consequences of it. I give it to you. So what happens? When we send forth the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, he's crying out, Abba, Father. That's what happens, is God, by his Spirit, is calling out, Abba, Father, to who? To the Father on our behalf. Oh, man, I love Jesus. All right. Before the apostles, they were disciples. They became apostles when they believed on who Jesus was. Before they went out, in John 20:21, it says, Jesus said to them again, Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And what are they operating by? They're operating by the move of the Spirit within them. They're listening to the Holy Spirit, and then they're acting upon what the Holy Spirit has given to them for the benefit of others. And the benefit is always to give glory to Jesus Christ. Yeah. And the objective of Jesus Christ is always to point and give glory to the Father. And we do this by his Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." What does that mean? When we come to Christ, his Spirit now dwells in us, and we are adopted into his family. He calls us sons and daughters. We are his family. And when we talk to him, we're talking to Abba, Father, Daddy. Just like Jesus did. That's what he's calling us to. He wants that kind of deep relationship with us. That runs deeper than just a friend of God. I have lots of friends, and they're not as close as my sons and my daughters. They're not as close as my wife, who biblically I'm one with her. You understand what I'm saying? All right, he brings us into that kind of communion with God. So the third thing was, we don't know what we ought to pray for a lot of times because we're in the flesh. All right. The fourth thing is to understand that the Spirit prays for us. Okay, I'm going to get more into that. I kind of led up to that a little bit, but here we go. Romans 8:26 says, "But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Based on what? The next verse says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints." How? "According to the will of God." This is so important. When we're asking for things in Jesus' name, we want answers. That's our humanity. We want him to answer our prayers, right? I do. All of them. Even the nonsensical ones. I want. If I ask it, I want it. Boy, Lord, it'd be really nice if Sally would cook a couple ribeyes on this day. I know it's her day, but I'd still like a couple of ribeyes. It ain't going to happen on two levels. She ain't going to cook me ribeyes on her day, and I'm not going to get it from God in this. Okay, so I'm praying according to my flesh, my desires, right? But when I'm praying according to his will, he will accomplish his purpose. And this is really tricky, because we can go in theology off to the place that I say, if I say it, it must be. That's just not true. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we're not just praying in his name. We're praying in his character. We're praying in the essence of who he is. And it lines up with that. We are so utterly dependent upon Christ in every facet of our lives. And when we realize that, and we're talking to him knowing that, you'll see prayers being answered, because they will be in line with the will of God. That's pretty deep, but it's just the way I'm seeing it, and I believe it's the way the scripture is presenting it. 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray." Oh, I already talked about this. That's the whole thing about in the church. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Know this, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're having an encounter with God at the deepest level, I believe, that we can in our flesh. It's a triune, it's a prayer to the Trinity, really. I am praying in the name of Jesus. What am I praying by? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm praying to Jesus, who will bring my prayers to the Father. He's involved in all of it. We don't pray just to one portion of the deity. We pray to the entire thing. Why do I pray in Jesus' name if all the others are so important? Jesus is our high priest. And it is Jesus who takes our prayers to the Father. Well, what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is bringing me in accord with the Spirit of Christ. I mean, this just goes on. I could just do this all day. It's like a big old pinwheel, just how the three are interacting with one another. Constant communion with one another. And every now and then, I can just jump into that pinwheel and get on there and join them. And then when I enter in, I'm out. You out. You know, I watch Gaga Ball with the little kids ministry, and that's kind of what I saw. And now I lost everybody. Sorry. John 14:13 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Don't leave it just there. You ask in his name according to his will. That's a hard one because it doesn't fit that line right there. Ask according to the will of God. These are prayer principles that we need. We'll grow in Christ and our relationship with him if we take these principles to heart. Well, how do we know that we don't always get, if we speak in his name? It just says it right there in John 14, 13. Well, Matthew 26, 39 says, this is Jesus praying now to the Father. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." If what is possible? If it is possible that God would not pour out the wrath of his anger upon sin onto Jesus. If it's possible to not have to go through this. Remember, the Bible says that Jesus, he who knew no sin, became sin, yours and mine, that we might become the righteousness of God, right? That's what happened. So he, Jesus, knowing what he knows, becomes the sin of the world, takes on the sin of the world, past, present, and future. I carry two sins and it haunts me until I reconcile it or block it out and stick it in a part of my brain that's not working. He took on all the sin of all time upon himself. And he's going to carry the weight of that sin before the Father in the garden in prayer. He says, if it be possible, take this cup, the cup of your wrath, away from me. And then he goes on to say, but not my will. Jesus said that, not my will, but yours. Your will, Father, be done. Jesus is acting in perfect obedience and submission to the Father, and he's going to take our sin, which deserves death, it says in Romans, the wages of sin is death, right? To give us a gift, because the gift of God is eternal life. So he's going to carry the burden of that sin. What was his will? Jesus' will was, if it be possible, take this from me. What was God's will? You're going to carry it. And you're going to face the hardest thing you ever faced when you're on that cross. And you're going to scream out, and you're going to feel the full retribution of my wrath, and you're going to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a rhetorical question for Jesus. He knew the answer. He knew the answer. God forsaken him because we became sin, and a holy God does not gaze upon sin. He turns his head from sin. Jesus became it, so unbelievably powerful. The reason why we bring this up is that we get a good understanding of praying by God's will. What does God's will look like? Usually lines up with his word. And the Holy Spirit helps in this. When my children are sick, I am praying. I am praying. And because of my emotions and my feelings and my love towards my children, I'm praying according to my will. But do they get healed? Yes, when it's according to God's will. That sounds hard, but they do. And what does God do? I tell you how he's done it with me, and I've shared this story before. But with my youngest son, when he got sick, and I thought the worst was going to happen, I'm crying out, and I'm praying, and I'm singing worship songs, and it was a horrible mess in me. Where was Sally? Sally was in the hospital, just got done delivering our youngest son. I'm frightened, and I'm scared. And I prayed earnestly, just like you all would. And the prayer didn't get answered the way I wanted it to. Because I wanted it right now. I wanted the miraculous to happen right now. And it didn't. And I'd call him, how's it going? Well, it's not going very good. He's got wires and buttons and whistles all over the hospital. You were really good. You handled that well until you had your time later. And it was frightening. Was it God's will that my son? No, it was God's will that he was accomplishing something, many things at one time. And an instantaneous prayer would have sure gave me peace, and he would have been fine, Sally would have been fine, everything would have been great. But he was at work. You see, we only know in part. He knows fully. He knows everything. So who is he working on? He's working on the faith of me. He's working on the faith in Sally. He's working on, he's going to take care of that kid. He formed them in Sally's womb. That's just getting weird, isn't it? If I keep talking, it's going to get weirder. You understand what I'm saying, though? He's at work. When is he at work? When he's not at work? I don't know. I think he's always at work. My guess is he's always at work. Can I trust him when I'm not getting the answers I want to get right now? I have to. Paul had a problem. So Jesus follows the Father, does what he says, and the worst outcome on the physical level happens. But on the spiritual level, the world was changed. The world was changed. That happens with me. Not that I change the world. I can't change my own family, for goodness sakes. How am I going to change the world? I can influence and impact, but I think you understand my point. 1 John 5:14 kind of sums this up, at least in a way. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for in him. In other words, we have asked in him. I have to trust it. I have to trust God for the best outcomes. What are the best outcomes? I don't know. My best outcomes don't look like his best outcomes. What does that make me have to do? I have to trust. But God, I don't like how it's going. I have to trust. Does that mean I don't emote? No, I cry like a school child. Snot all over the place, emotions erupting out of me all the time. But I have to trust. What happens when I trust? I'm starting to relate to God on a whole different level. I am growing in him. In this life, you will have tribulation. In this life, you'll have trials, he says. But be of good cheer. I've overcome all of this. There's an end game that we don't see all the time, because we see this right here. I see this, but I don't see the bigger picture. He sees the bigger picture. I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to be like God for 2 seconds. I'll tell you how I saw the big picture. When Sally asked all the ladies to stand, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but Bert, you stood with the ladies. I'm just saying. And I'm the only one who noticed and saw it because I was sitting right here. Now picture that. With Bert, which was my joy, I was going to say this no matter what this service came out to, but I'm sitting from the catbird seat and I could see Bert and I was just going to give him a shot. Now, God, who is all everything, sees it all. He sees the things in our heart that we can't see. In our own heart, we don't even know they're there. He sees. He knows the beginning from the end. He sees the outcomes before they come about. That's our God. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor James, I think I'm going to, if you can come up with your team. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to stop right there. There's a few other things I can throw out there, but I think it would be off the mark. Our God is, the Bible says he's omniscient. You've heard that from up here a lot. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. And he's omnipresent, like we said before, which means he's always present, all places, everywhere. That's how big God is. That's how deep God is. That's how awesome he is. We are not those things. We are at different levels of simple, to be really honest. We're all at different levels of simple relative to him. I said earlier that I can speak for myself that I am so utterly dependent upon God for the very sustenance of who I am and for the issues that come up and how I deal with them. I can't do anything of any substance without him in my life. And neither can you. When we talk about surrendering to Christ, you know what we're really saying? To understand what I just said, that I can't on my own in any way. And we have to come to the place where we too are utterly dependent upon God. That's called surrender. In my language, it's surrender. I have to surrender to him because I can't. Yeah, there's menial, small things I can do, but anything of consequence, I can't do it apart from him. Now, at my age, I see that better than I ever have, and as I grow older, I'm seeing it clearer and clearer and clearer. But if you were to talk to Pastor Donnie right now, I believe he would say pretty much the same thing. Tack 20 years onto me, you have Pastor Donnie, and he's saying, the older he gets, the clearer and clearer and clearer he sees it. Is that fair to say? Got a thumbs up from Donnie. That's true for all of us. We are utterly dependent upon him. Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're going to the Father by him. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're having the Spirit petition our prayers to God on his behalf. On our behalf, I mean. But he's going. We are utterly dependent on God, even in how we pray. Here's what we do get to do. We get to make a decision and a choice. Because that's what God does. He gives us a choice. And the choice he gives us is, do I receive him and submit to him and obey him, or do I continue it alone on my own? If you've never come to the place where you said, Jesus, I surrender. I give me to you, everything. Even how I pray, I give it to you. To take away my sin like you did in the garden. You already did the work. Now I have to believe you did it for me. If you want to receive that truth and that promise, I'm going to just ask you to raise your hand right where you're at. If it's embarrassing, probably means a whole lot more. Yes, yes, sir. Yes, sir, in the back. I see that. Is there anybody else? This is a big deal. Anybody else want to receive Jesus today? Yes, sir. Can we all pray together? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know my need.
I know my need.
My need is you.
My need is you.
And the fullness of who you are.
The fullness of who you are.
Help me to understand better.
Help me understand better.
I give you my sin.
I give you my sin.
And I give you my life.
I give you my life.
Change me.
Change me.
Transform me.
Transform me.
Into who you want me to be.
Into who you want me to be.
Be my Lord.
My Lord.
And be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Amen.